welcome to another episode of Building Minnesota Rocker. Today we are down once again at the WeWork in Capella Tower. Shout out to the WeWork for providing this space until our headquarters is finished. To my left, I got the usual suspect, Brett Diamond, the COO here at Minnesota Rocker. And today is such a special episode, literally a dream episode of mine. We have Gary V in studio, and you are co-owner of Minnesota Rocker. You're here in town. We've had a great day with you so far, and we wanted to make sure we have a good podcast with you too. So,
well, I am happy to give my best.
Yeah, you've done nothing.
I'm quite sure that will be good enough.
I appreciate that, my man.
Exactly.
Thanks for having me on. I'm super pumped.
Yeah. Likewise. So kind of like, I mean, we just listened to you give a talk downstairs, and you kind of like just went deep into why you wanted to get into building Minnesota Rocker, being a part of this franchise. But just in case for the folks who are listening, you know, what do you view Minnesota Rocker as, and why did you want to be involved in Call of Duty and this team?
For the last, you know, I would call it 7 to 8 years in a serious way, I've been quietly, especially for the people that follow me, I think they'll recognize, if they paid attention, you know, back to our connection, Hector showing up in a vlog 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, other little things. If you were really nerdy about my content, you probably could have figured out I was probably paying attention a lot more than what people would have realized about esports. Obviously, to your point, what we just spoke about, the event that we just had, I had the luxury of spending an hour of kind of really going deep into the macro trends, my ambitions to own the New York Jets one day, my historically long relationship with the Will family, who are obviously the majority owners of the team. My watching kind of Overwatch go through its process because of a lot of my relationship with you know, sports owners, billionaires, other people that looked at that activation, consumer behavior, social media, being there when it was just in TV before Twitch, you know, Bugga, Ninja, just the data. I spent a lot of time, which we probably can't get to in this podcast, in this keynote, this Q&A that I just did, about the historical nature of sports, the 1982 NBA Finals being on tape delay, Super Bowl I not selling out, why boxing was the biggest sport in America, because boxing does incredible in radio, so the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, then, and did incredible on network TV, worldwide sports, Ali fights on national television for free, Tyson comes along and goes pay-per-view, you don't see it, the masses don't see it, all of a sudden it's not as popular, how that translates to esports, Twitch, YouTube, other streaming, Mixer, all this other stuff, like so much going on there. So I'm here involved for the following reasons. One, I have a real relationship with the Will family, mm-hmm. and when they approached me with this opportunity, that felt incredibly right. Two, I wildly believe in esports forever, historically, period, end of story, non-debatable, binary, esports is here, has been here, and will continue to grow. The biggest vulnerability is, do you want to lock yourself into, you know, this wasn't a $4 investment. Do I want to lock myself into a massive investment for me personally, not through a fund, me personally, in a title? So, you know, I spoke about that in earlier, which is, when I look at the 15-year-old TikTokers, when I look at the Lil Keeds and the Gunnas and the Bad Bunnies, the culture of hip hop, when I look at the Jujus and what Call of Duty has given me enough confidence that it's closer to Mario, to FIFA, to Madden, to, you know, Zelda, that it is a franchise that has decades DNA in it, mm-hmm. which it already has. And I believe it will continue. So that was the high risk part of this. I spoke about the learnings. I think I personally will learn quite a bit. I spoke about the culture in South Korea of going to events. I mean, you know, I've done an interesting little recap here in the way that I'm answering a question for the value of the listener. I think if you're actually this is interesting to say because it's true. If you're even listening to this, you are aware of something in a way that most aren't. What's funny about the next year or two of me probably doing a lot more content around esports, around Rocker, putting my face closer to it. Yeah. I'll probably end up doing more singular questions or full podcasts about it, and it's gonna take the tone and tenor of the videos of me in 2009, where it's like, it's gonna have more of the, I'm telling you, social media's here, you know, right? Now, so I don't have to explain in 2019 that social media means something.
Right.
Presidential elections, culture, government involvement, money, billions, trillions, every human's got one. I think that that's what will happen in 2029 with esports. But for, if you're listening right now, you know something that a lot of people don't, which is this is a thing. And when I say a thing, a $1 trillion thing. This is not some garage band with 23 fans. This is at scale, this is billions, this is incredible amounts of audience. Every time I wear a hoodie from a team, whether it's Liquid, whether it's FaZe Clan, you know, obviously I'm gonna be rocking the rocker a lot. Yeah. Every time I do, yesterday I wore a Team Liquid hoodie, just naturally in life. It wasn't even because I was gonna be here, just real life, because it was the thing in my closet. I just grabbed it. But the amount of content, I put out some content already today from yesterday, some live streams, some pictures, and a single Instagram post. Enormous reaction, right? Like people don't understand how big this is.
Yeah.
Today when I landed at the airport, a comp for people that follow me, TikTok, right? Today I landed a little early, got a little Starbucks, standing in line, 25-year-old, what do you think, D-Rock, 22? 27, you think. Anyway, 20 to 28-year-old female TSA employee looking at me. You know, obviously I know I have a lot of social media followers, so recognizes me, finally does what a lot of people gets the courage to be like, hey, do I know you? I'm like, yeah, I try to play humble. I'm like, I put out content on the internet. You probably, that's actually all I said. I put out a lot of content on the internet. She goes, right, you're the TikTok motivational speaker. Now, a couple things. One, TikTok, where I promise you, because D-Rock was next to me, we both thought Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Number two, I hate that people think I'm a motivational speaker, so we probably had a laugh about that. But the reality is esports, TikTok, there's always things in culture that are way bigger than people realize. And so for all those reasons, all wrapped up in the macro package of my great ambition since I was probably 11 is to own the New York Jets. And this is gonna be a great practice. I mean, you guys got the luxury of seeing this. Me addressing the players was really a fun moment for me. I didn't even realize I'm even getting a little bit emotional right now. It was an interesting moment for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was gonna be, but it was. I was like, oh my God,
they're your guys.
They're my guys. Yeah, like those, I talked like an owner.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm here for you. You know, like it was like a sweet, like, I don't know. Like it's really exciting for me. Minnesota's fun for me for a couple reasons. I haven't spent that much time here, but almost all 11 trips have been fundamentally memorable. Mm-hmm. The first time I ever was recognized multiple times in an airport happened in Minnesota with my Pepsi client who thought I staged those people coming up to me. This is true.
Thought you gave him 50 bucks.
Thought I
something.
Gave people 50 bucks to, like, obviously the Super Bowl here was a great moment for me. My wife's first cousin, her bat mitzvah was here. It was a real family moment a decade ago. Just a lot of fun moments. And also I was born in Belarus in a former Soviet Union. Don't wear a coat in New York, even during the winter. So I've always kind of liked the snowy, cold culture. It's also a place that is underrated for its summers and springs. Maybe not as long as you guys want them to be. The Vikings, long before the Wilfs bought them, and that obviously made me care about them a little bit more. They're in the NFC, so they don't bother me. They don't bother me as a Jets fan. Mike Vacanti, my trainer, who really transformed my health life, is from Minnesota and a huge Vikings fan. The Vikings, back to what I was gonna say, also have lost a ton of devastating games.
Don't remind me, man.
In 1998, the best Jets team ever. The Jets made it to the AFC Championship game and lost in devastating fashion in Denver. The Vikings were 15-1 and lost in devastating fashion. I thought it was gonna be Jets Vikings Super Bowl. So, if somebody told me that I would, like 20 years ago, there's gonna be a thing called esports. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be like sports. I'm like, that's interesting. You're gonna own a team. I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. That makes sense. Oh, by the way, it's in Minnesota. I'd be like, okay. There's something meant to be about this whole thing. I'm excited it's gonna drag me here more often. I like coming here.
Good. You're coming in January, right?
I am. I'll be here for the opening weekend. And then honestly, I wanna come for another home thing. I'm probably gonna go to a road game match at least. I'll come here for things like this. So, and don't forget, I am running the kind of fastest growing, most successful contemporary agency. And, General Mills, Target, Best Buy, Maha, who you guys know, a big executive that's entered my world from Minnesota. So there's there's a lot of things that feel right about all this.
Yeah.
You know, one
that was a long answer.
Yeah, no, it's great. One thing that I find interesting is we get a lot of people either asking us directly or talk or commenting on social media. It must be so great to have Gary and his team giving you ideas and giving you feedback, and it is, right? But one thing you talk a lot about is you put your best stuff out there for free.
That's right.
And when people say that to us, a part of me wonders, do they listen to all your stuff? Do they, you know, did they download your deck? Did they read that stuff? Because I feel like, you know, I mentioned, Ash, if you would agree with this, I think, you know, maybe 80 to 85% of what we get in terms of what we should be doing, it's from consuming your content. Now 100%. That 15%,
and
that's
we,
the conversation
and
we had
this
earlier.
Is a fun moment content. Because if we did this podcast yesterday versus the meeting we just all had,
yeah,
it might have even taken a different tone, right?
Right.
What you guys got to see today with me in our kind of hour and a half meeting where we strategize, everybody's listening, we were doing a bunch of marketing, social content strategy work. And by the way, to give you the biggest compliment, I've been honestly, I will say this on the record, my impact on the content and marketing that you've seen so far, logo, content, videos, has been wildly limited because the talent that has been formed here has been remarkable, and you at the tippy top of knowing it, both from the culture of gaming and Call of Duty itself and the platforms, has been really fun to watch, and I've really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But on the flip side, what I'm proud of is the value I perceive I gave
for sure
earlier this morning in that 90-minute meeting, I think is about to pay significant dividends, no different, my friend, and thank you for saying that, than the audience that watches me every day and decides after 2.5 years of knowing what I'm saying to actually start doing it and then get the results of it. Yep. And yeah, I mean, that day trading mentality is what makes, in a room where I do think the players are really good.
Mm-hmm.
I always think of it in sports. In a room full of all-stars, I like the meeting we just had because it reminds me that I think I'm destined for the Hall of Fame. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like there's, you know, and by the way, that comes from experience. I actually believe you will be that as well one day. I really do. It's just I've gotten to this place where I'm like, really, you know, I'm now 22 years, day in and day out, communication, marketing, business person, full-time, let alone what I did in my youth, which was 80% of my time was doing that, which is why I was a bad student. So there's a, you know, I'm a very mature 44 when it comes to marketing, communications, business. So yeah, thank you for saying that. And I agree with you. For everyone who's listening, to their point, and I'm a significant owner of this team, 85% of the action is free and available. And I even then spend my own money to do heavy dosage things like the deck I just put out.
Yeah.
A lot of hours went into that. You know, listen, I'm selfish. I want legacy. I want to be known as the best in my craft, the guy, the best marketer, the best entrepreneur. And I think the only way you can be best is if you actually give back a lot. And I'm very proud of how much I give away for free.
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of speaks to just like being and feeling real to whoever's tuned in. I think that has a lot to do with like your messaging, and that's one of the things we're trying to put across in the content. You are going to see those massive projects that took weeks, months to film and build, but then you're also going to see like
on the phone, 2 seconds. Yep.
Yep. Like real quick, like our players come into practice. We're right there where something funny happens or something, you know, maybe they're mocking some meme that's hot that moment. Like just getting out that content that's real and it's behind the scenes. One of the things that I think you from day one, Brett, mentioned and kind of at the foresight of is just like giving people that behind the curtain look. So even when we were building the team, we were one of the teams that was, I mean, for as much as we could, we tried to let folks know like what's going on. And I think like that's what people strive for and want online is connection.
People want a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a not well lit single selfie is perfect.
Yeah.
Other times a Kaepernick video at the right moment from Nike that cost a lot of money to produce was right.
Right.
We at VaynerMedia and we here at Rocker and me, Gary Vaynerchuk, sometimes people are super fired up about, I went on a rant in this morning about people saying no all the time instead of saying yes. That was a good tweet today. And it also took us 4 months to make that deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think of it in high, low. I think people are stuck in the middle. They don't go for the epic Star Wars. Like, it's very simple. Look at everything, right? It's like the epic album from the biggest star and then SoundCloud rappers. It's the Avengers and Star Wars and Disney stuff and some indie film that costs $4 million. And that's, and I think people are confused. The game today, because of the internet, because of the speed, is either let me sit down, whether you liked The Irishman or not, it's an incredible indicator to the world we're living in. 3.5 hours, that movie. Mm-hmm. I promise you, if I heard that there's some Star Wars movie or a Rocky movie, some of the franchises, if I hear that Rocky 10 is a 8-hour film on Netflix, I'm pumped. I'm not upset.
Yeah.
Now that people see that people are willing to binge watch, the amount of humans listening right now that have absolutely laid in their bed from noon to 8 p.m. watching one thing is a lot. And so 8-hour film or 13-second TikTok. Don't get caught in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When I think about some of the things that your content had a huge impact us on, impact on us early, it's that just do it and just getting started. You know, coming from the Vikings produce amazing content for me. It's the best in the NFL. But everything is very well produced,
yes.
Very high quality,
yes.
Very high production quality. And I can say for certain that if I had not heard that message, right, we would not have gotten out of the gates quickly and produced content out the door, because we would have thought that we had to reach that high production quality to even get started.
Right. Honestly, brother, let's just take this. I want to bring value to everybody who's listening and watching. The single vulnerability in 2020 when you're trying to communicate something, and a bunch of presidential nominees are going to lose on this, a bunch of Fortune 500 companies are going to lose on this, making production subjective calls on production value is destroying so many people's opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you've left out, which you didn't leave out on purpose, what I also know, because I live in that world, meaning teams, companies, is not only was production value the game, it was completely based on someone's opinion. And I don't know enough about the org to know if that's Ziggy or Mark or Letty or an executive or the CEO or she or, you know, but that's it. Like that's how it works. Like at Unilever and Procter and Coca-Cola and Nike and Under Armour, you know, prior to him stepping down, the founder CEO's, right, opinion on the 4-minute Steph Curry video was the game. Yeah. Versus our belief, and what I am so, honestly, like, the big credit that I can give, and I think anybody listening knows that I love razzing VaynerMedia, I love razzing the Jets, I love razzing myself, so I'm not throwing this compliment out because of our association. It's fun to hear that because it just makes sense. A, at the top, giving permission, and B, then having the right players. Like, this is just obvious. This is what you two are doing, and the rest of it, there's a great team,
yeah.
Right? What you guys are doing is actually everything I'm trying to get the biggest companies in the world to do. Hey, leader, get out of the way, but then get involved two ways. Have your own ideas. Say, hey, we should do this. And then the team needs to be like, nah, the senior, because when you're just making, you're making.
Yeah.
And two, when we make, pay attention to what's happening to inform your next decision.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And just to give you a real life example of how we're trying to put that into practice. So, you know, when we first started out, we had very little staff. For a while, it was me running our Twitter account, which I don't mind saying to this camera, not a sustainable social media strategy.
You were pretty decent at Twitter for what it was, but it definitely...
It was a lot of GIFs and a lot of emojis, but we got through it. We got Ashley
but we
on
made,
board.
But
we
you know what? But we made, while other teams in the same spot waited to hire, but you made.
Yep. And even in that moment, and I like to think that this is something that I would have put a priority on anyway, but I truly don't know. But you know, when you talk a lot about the interaction, right? And it was a priority to us from day one to interact with the fans and reply to as many comments as
yes.
possible and just listen and observe.
Believe it the most.
And I mean, that's actually how, you know, Ashley really landed on our radar, was looking day one at, okay, everybody that commented, everybody that replied, everybody that posted, and then looking and saying, okay, you know, we talked a little bit about it earlier in different contexts, but okay, this person has, you know, X number of followers. Oh wait, this person has 244,000. We might
right
want to find them.
And most of all, and I knew this beforehand too, it was not only you know, it's funny. Yes, Ash has followers, but obviously given the world I've come in as always a person that had more followers than almost the whole field, because I go into new platforms earlier back in the day. Now, obviously real celebrities and real things are in there, but still I have real numbers. What I loved about it, why it was a no-brainer for me when we were talking, was it wasn't the quant, it was the qual. It wasn't how many followers she had, it's what people said about her in the community.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I have a hard time just taking these compliments. There's so many, but I think
because you're authentically in it.
Yeah,
like,
I think like I've been a part of the Call of Duty and esports community for 10 years.
You're the most authentic thing that our franchise has.
Absolutely.
I'm stoked to hear it. And I feel like we've kind of echoed that throughout our whole team. And even when it came down to the player selection process, is getting those right guys with that right attitude that we're believing we had a championship caliber.
Let there be no confusion for everybody. Let it be on record. Your GM skills during that time were real. I would argue the realest. So I'm glad we're putting this on tape, because in 40 years, when this is a $1 billion franchise and a 6-time champion, like it'll be nice to when people say no way, you just show them this video.
Yes, way. Exactly. And we're just super excited for the season to get underway, to just finally see it all unravel. The players playing, the matches happening finally.
I can't believe it, actually. Sorry to interrupt you. Like, just kind of got me into a mood.
Yeah, you're fired up.
Well, I'm always fired up. but now I'm actually a little bit like butterfly. Like, I'm going to be back here in like 6 to 8 weeks, whatever, and be nervous.
We have 3 matches that weekend, and they all
mean
each match now with this season means a lot. I mean, we saw the schedule. There's certain weeks where we just go to Paris to play LA. And that's a lot weighing on that match, a lot of travel going into that, preparation and everything. And then we have rivalries coming, so we have an obvious one with Toronto in the north. But you were saying, like, you wanted
Chicago.
Kind of
rivalry with Chicago. One of our favorite people on earth, Hector, is in Chicago.
Much respect to Hector. I mean, obviously.
More than much respect. First of all, forget about the respect that he fully deserves.
Yes.
He's also the best dude.
Yeah, he's genuinely like a mentor that I've looked up to. Since
that being said, I hate him now. This is real, by the way. But this happens all the time. Eric Decker is one of my all-time favorite Jets.
Yeah.
Ironically, also went to the University of Minnesota, right?
Weird.
Eric Decker, he's also wildly handsome. anyway, nonetheless, Eric Decker was a Bronco, and then he becomes a Jet. And I love him, because he's a great player. He's the best human. He then ends his Jets tenure, goes to the Titans, and then gets cut, I don't remember the whole thing, but he signs with the Patriots. And I talk to him all the time, sporadically, DMs, texts, and I literally have to text him. I'm like, all right, like, when you retire or aren't here anymore, we can talk again. And I had to wait until he was gone, and then it didn't work out there. It was very quick, and I like was so happy, because I was like, oh, phew, I can talk to you now. And like Josh Gordon, you know, troubled wide receiver, but I've always loved the kid. I think he's a great kid. And when he went to the Patriots, I just stopped talking to him. Literally didn't talk to him. I didn't know him as well, so I didn't even tell him, like, hey, I'm not talking to you anymore. Like, and the second he, just a couple weeks ago, got cut by the Patriots and went to Seattle, I was like, hey. That's how I feel about Hector. Like, love him, best dude ever, want to destroy Chicago. And I'm so pumped about this, right? Because we have this great relationship. There's your legacy in that world with him. And now Minnesota and Chicago, because of the NFL, because of the regionality, has a great natural rivalry.
That Midwest rivalry.
And so I'm very excited to make bets with Hector, to trash talk with Hector, to like cry if we lose, like real stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm super excited about that too. And truly, like, that's what Call of Duty is. The matches happen and the stats are important and the plays that happen are amazing, but the storylines behind everything is incredible.
You mean sports?
Yeah.
I mean, people are so funny. They don't get what actually happens.
Like,
of course you care about the game, but it was what the person said on Thursday. It was about what happened last year. Mm-hmm. It's about what your aunt did 15 years ago. This is soap operas. Sports are soap operas. Sports are far more close to wrestling than people realize, and vice versa.
Storytelling.
Do you know how on tilt Browns and Steeler fans are with each other right now? Do you know what happened when Bill Belichick was named the Jets head coach? This is some education for some of you. Bill Belichick has been the New York Jets head coach twice and has never ever coached a game. Bill Belichick was named the Jets head coach, and then 3 days later resigned and went to New England, and then went on to become the greatest head coach of all time. How could you want me to like the Patriots? Let me give you another education. Drew Bledsoe was the Patriots quarterback.
Yeah.
Remember that name?
Yep.
He was knocked out by a hit by Mo Lewis against the Jets, which was the hit that put Tom Brady onto the field for the first time. How could you want me? How could you have me not hate them? People don't get it.
Yeah.
People don't get it. And by the way, this opening weekend here, especially by the nature of the game, mm-hmm. what's great about Call of Duty as a game is crazy shit can happen at the end.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you have a game that's never over till it's over kind of thing, anything can happen. Like, could you imagine something devastating happens to us, that it was a foregone conclusion, we're gonna win the whole thing, and then something got pulled out on opening weekend on our home turf? We forever gonna hate that team.
Yeah. And yeah. That's how stuff is built. I mean, like I said, we have the for fun rivalry, I think, for the North with Toronto.
Look, Chicago, we can hate Toronto and Chicago.
Yes.
Let's just hate them both.
Yeah, we got room to.
We have room in our
I personally hate them all. Just on the record, every team, if you're watching, London, LA, like, I hate you. I really hate you.
We want to win. I mean,
mine'll ebb and flow. Whoever we're hating next, that's what I'll focus on.
Yes. I'm just pot committed to hating all mall.
We'll see. We don't actually play Chicago on the opening weekend, but we do play Toronto. We do play LA Gorillas, and then I believe we play New York. I hope I didn't just get that wrong.
Florida.
Okay, I knew it was one of those. But
that's why I stayed quiet.
But yeah, God,
I know when.
I knew once I got rolling, I was like, "What's the third team?" But no, it's gonna be a wild weekend, and we're super stoked to just get the season started. Just because I don't know. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of work before.
Let's play a little bit here with the podcast.
For sure.
What's been your hot take on some of the players? Give me some hot takes on the guys.
Well, so we've just had the guys in town this week to do a bunch of content, to meet you, to just be out here.
It's been
here.
So
they're going to move out here pretty soon. But some of the personalities that we have on this team and how funny that they can be, you know, it's been a treat. Caden, so Exceed, he's one of the reserve players. He's hilarious. He's only 18. Brightest future ahead of him. He's a good kid.
I'm pretty sure he's younger than my car.
Yeah, exactly.
The socks I'm wearing right now are older than Caden.
I got a t-shirt. Well, yeah, might have a t-shirt older than Caden. We'll see. But yeah, just like getting to know these guys in person and seeing how they gel with each other in person, that's one of the big reasons we wanted them to move here and be here. Practice here, live here. We shoot content from here. We're all together all the time. It's a family vibe. Like, we've had a really good time. One thing, so I think the heartthrob of the team is going to be Alex with the British accent.
Yeah, the British accent. Yeah, I see it.
Good looking kid.
And he also
British
had like
accent.
The really fresh sneakers I saw today. Yes. And so he knows what he's doing. Yep, he's playing it coy, but.
Yep. And silly too. So, or Justin, he's the really tall one with the crazy tattoo.
Yes.
So he's all into kick games. So he dresses well. He's pretty funny too.
He's a real player too.
Yeah. I mean, Silly and Assault, they just won like basically the Super Bowl of Call of Duty just over a year ago. So they're legit as frick when it comes to it. So we're stoked to get the season started. And I'm just, for me, like from a content aspect, I'm looking forward to telling the story, whether it's a TikTok or
I want to ask you a controversial question. What I mean by that is, it's a difficult question because of an, but I really want you to answer it. I think it's going to bring value to the podcast.
Yeah, let's go.
Because you're so educated, and it's a tough question because they play different positions, sniper, different things. But net, if there was a, I should know this as an owner, but if there was a singular player league MVP.
The undisputed current best player?
Correct. Knowing what we're going into, it's a little slight alteration. Knowing that you're educated, just a clear, I wouldn't refrain you from saying somebody on Minnesota, but hey guys, I want the actual answer from truth.
Who do I think is the MVP of the league?
Yeah, only because I'm just curious. It'll be fun for me to watch, and I value your opinion so much.
Right.
So actually give the answer, and don't worry about not being a rocker or things of that nature. Your actual personal, quote unquote, off the record, yet we're putting it fully on the record.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of ways to look
I know
at it too.
That's not what I want.
Yeah.
I want,
just, you just want one name for me right now.
I do.
Gosh, I mean, it depends on what you're looking for. Are you looking for selling tickets day one?
No.
Scum.
No, I'm talking.
If you're looking for the next big star who's just exploded, it's Simp. He had an insane rookie year last year.
Yes, I saw.
And so looking at him as he's so young, he's so accomplished, already just won the world champ, or the Super Bowl or whatever, Call of Duty World Championship. I would say Simp would be like the person where you'd say, holy cow, this kid, he's, you know, and it's hard to say, man, because like Call of Duty changes every year.
Let's see,
what happens in his sophomore year.
Well, yes, and that's why you have to ask experts to be able to have the ability to adjust to sophomore slumps and nuances of the game and more. I mean, these kids are going to be playing with a totally different eyes on them. They're going to be, I mean, I don't know. We the league hasn't done a network deal yet, have they? Or have they might have a not announced?
It has not been announced.
But it's been done. So let's just, I don't know, but I'm going to make this
I don't know that it's been done yet.
Got it. I don't know. the league, the, you know, I'm going, actually, by the way, this is no inside baseball or inside esports. obviously, Overwatch has a, you know, ABC deal, right? Because it's the ABC and ESPN. Like, where I guess I'm going is, I promise you this, for a lot of these kids, and they've played on big streaming platforms and different things of nature, but the mass culture is gonna be watching in a different way.
Right.
And so, by the way, that might make them play different. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of people that are the best tennis players in the world that when they get to center court on Wimbledon, can't and sometimes can.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, that was always the funniest thing with me. I'm always much better when people are watching.
You just love that pressure aspect, that back against the wall, I have to do it. When you were talking about in there about like there were opportunities where you had like less money and that motivated you more, like it's always that like rear end to the fire thing.
Yep.
I'm the same way. I'm just like.
Even more extreme, and I know I have to wrap up, so everybody listening, thank you so much, but I'll go even more extreme. Probably my favorite athlete is Novak Djokovic.
Okay.
Because when he plays Federer, in the finals at Wimbledon, the entire stadium is cheering against him. And the way he plays the villain, that's what I like doing.
Yeah.
I want everybody against me. Because that's what competition is. Like, there's nothing more fun than having everybody root for the other person, beating that person, and then looking at the crowd and saying, fuck you.
Yeah. And I feel like kind of like, just to bring it full circle with our roster, like, I don't think we have any villains in COD on our team because they're all great guys. Love these guys. But we are under the radar a little bit. So I think like we've got that a tiny bit.
Look,
of
in a world of London, New York, and LA, let's call a spade a spade. Like in a world of like teams in London, LA, and New York, like Minnesota, like that's honestly, that is very attractive. As a alpha New Yorker, that attracts me to this tremendously. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Gary. And shout out to the WeWork for providing this space for the podcast. Thank you for listening. You can listen on all podcasting platforms and subscribe to us on YouTube. Thanks for listening.